Get In Lifted Season 3 is finally here, and we're celebrating with a giveaway for you, our listeners, where all of you win. You just press play, so I know your podcast app is still open. Before you put your phone back in your pocket, will you please take a minute to write an honest rating and review of the show? Take a screenshot. Email it to me, Kimberly at inlifted.me, before May 1st, and I'll reply with an exclusive invite to a live In Lifted Coaches Workshop hosted by Mark England and myself. P.S. If you're putting your phone back in your pocket, please use an EMF blocking device, just saying. Get control of your words. Get control of your story. Get control of your breath. Get over your fear of not being good enough. Get your dream clients, get them results, and get In Lifted. What do you need to become a coach?
Nothing.
That's it? Nothing?
Zero, nothing.
Okay, podcast over.
Yeah.
Nothing.
You got a quote-unquote good attitude, and you want to help people and call yourself a coach. You know, put it out there and give people advice and have some answers for them, and you're fucking coaching.
It's true. And one of the things...
I didn't say a good coach.
We'll get there. Don't spoil the fun.
Sorry.
He's new at this whole co-hosting thing. Yeah. So
I'm fucking sweating over here.
What do you need to become a good podcaster? I'm kidding. So, all right. You don't really need much to become a coach. You really don't. You don't need a degree. You don't need a certification. You don't need, you probably need an Instagram profile. And you might want a website.
You need a cell phone.
A cell phone. A computer, right? You might want some business cards. You might need
you can get certified some headshots. For $47 over a weekend.
You can. Self-paced, you definitely can.
Videos.
100%.
Pop quiz at the end.
So what we're saying here is, and you saw it in the title, coaching has a low barrier to entry. And it's very true. It is both a blessing and the curse of this industry. And you can quite literally like put a sign up that says I'm a coach without any knowledge, experience, skills that are governed by anyone else, or it's a deregulated industry, decentralized industry. We've been talking about that a little bit over these last handful of shows, talking about why that's actually a good thing in my mind. And so, all right, next question. What do you need to become a good coach?
Presence. Pay attention to the person you're listening to. It's listening. You need to be able to listen. Show me somebody who's got 5 coaching certifications, or you know, master's degree in psychology, and they're a bad listener. You show me somebody who's a good listener, that second person will be, they'll deliver more for their clients than the person's just waiting for the other person to stop talking so they can say what they need to do. Yeah. So presence and the ability to focus.
Anything else from your like technical perspective, like what separates like just a coach from a good coach?
Vision. You know, you got to see yourself doing it for a while. A good coach will accurately identify their sessions as their lessons. They'll get into it and they'll go, okay, there's more to this than I thought. Good than just my smarty pants ass answers. And they'll go, okay, this is a practice. It's called a practice for a reason. They'll recognize that that word is accurate, extremely accurate, and they will approach their work as such.
So the way that I would say what you said about vision is that there's a commitment to the craft. Like there's a commitment to, I'm going to do this. Like I want to do this. I want to be good at it.
A good coach is not at craft yet.
Okay. All right. So what I mean by that is there's a commitment to that as a job, right? Like this is something where it's like, no, this is what I do. There's an identity that goes along with it. So we could even look at it as like, just to become a coach, all really the only thing you need is the identity of calling yourself one. And so when I become a good coach, it's like you're taking pride in your work. You know, you get results. You see yourself, you care, right? And you mentioned you can see yourself doing it for a long time. You can see yourself like developing your skills. You see yourself learning more. You're taking more courses. You're like, you know, you're actively engaged in getting better to me. If you're a good coach, you've put in reps in the job.
You keep showing up.
You're seeking guidance, mentors, people you can learn from, very much in that realm of putting in the work, right? Like you're committed to doing it. And to be committed to doing it means you've got to gather some skills. You've got to learn some tools. You've got to learn some things about yourself, right? Learn what it takes to be good, right? That's half of it too, is to be good. You got to know what it takes to be good. Figure out who's doing it well and go learn from them. Go see them in action. And what sets you up to go to the next level, which is becoming a professional coach?
Desire. A desire, a decision, which then in the next year when we get to that leads to a commitment. Somewhere around great coach and pro / world-class coach is going from deciding to do it to committing to do it. Now you're starting to flirt with the idea of, oh, this is more than something to get good at. This is something that I can dedicate myself to. There's a dedication. Now you're getting into the world realm of dedication. This is the first time I've ever flushed this.
That's what podcasts are for.
Yeah, this is great. This is me real time.
I don't tell them what we're talking about.
Articulating these different tiers. And now and it would be different for the individual, and you're definitely out of the amateur realm when you're into great coach territory, and you're definitely long gaming it in your mind. There's more of a, so coach, good coach, there's more of a top heavy energy to it, and you can hear it in how they talk about what they do. You can hear it and feel it when they coach people. They're upregulated. They're excited. The breath is, the energy is more, like I said, top heavy and up here, because they're in the process. If they stay in the game, they're in the process of becoming comfortable with what they do. Okay, they are on the road to confident for damn sure. And if they keep going, they're going to get into the realms of comfortable with what they do. And when that happens, the energy, we're in Austin, everybody, still. The energy, it really does. It drops down into it descends along with the breath. And then you can do some real magical shit from that position. You become, and nobody's bulletproof. In a lot of ways, you become an immovable object when you're working your craft. You're seeing it as a craft. This is something that, you know, if somebody decides to do something for 10 years, you're in that great coach. It'll take you 10 years to get to great. There's something about 10. Rick McCoy said it. That guy's been coaching MMA for a long time. He said, I don't know what happened, but at 10 years, I could just see. He's like, I had the vision. Okay, so the energy descended and the thing zoomed out, and you can see things from that distance. That, you know, in the early days, it's all close and it's all exciting in just a young way.
Yeah, the word excitement is the thing that comes to mind for me when you're talking about that, like, top heavy energy, which means, like, you know, they're big energy. They're somebody who, you know what they do because they talk about it, because they're excited about it, because they consistently. There's also another way that shows up. I'll talk about that in a second. The excited coach, the one who is excited to tell you what they do, is excited about what they do, is excited about helping people, is excited about the results that they get, right? It is exciting. It is exiting.
Like, I was very excited when I first started.
It's like,
I'm not excited anymore.
You don't need to be.
I don't need to be.
Right? And it's really interesting to me. So the other way that excitement comes across, which is likely, how do I say this without sounding like a jerk?
Sound like a jerk.
It's ego. It's ego. It's the excitement of, I've got something to prove. I'm right. I've got the thing. I know what I'm doing. And there's like a defensiveness in the voice. There's an aggression in the voice that comes from, you're not doing it right, and I know how to do it right. So listen to me, because I'm good at what I do. Right? It's
combative.
It's a little combative, and it's subtle, because it's not necessarily something that is what they're saying. It's the tonality, and it's the inflection points and the body language even, right? It's like, they've got something to prove. They got something to prove because they're right about something.
When that energy is top heavy, like I've said, it's super hard to have good timing. It's super hard to have good timing. And having good timing is the hallmark of a pro.
Let's describe top heavy. Let's give some visuals with that of what people, because I knew what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I don't know that other people know what you're talking about. Describe how that person moves in a room. Describe how they move when they're presenting.
They're not smooth.
How they talk.
They're not smooth. It's not a smooth, it's not smooth movements. It's not smooth breathing. It's not smooth. It's staticky. It's a little, it's jagged. I'm describing how it looks in my imagination, the energy of it and how it feels. And there's a usually a little faster paced to the how someone would move in a room, and you'll see someone go over, like, you can see the second guessing happening in their head by how they move their body. Okay. There's that. And there's neediness to it. And you yes. know, like, everything that I'm describing right now is me in year one and two. And
oh yeah. Even into I mean, three. Me 100% too. Yeah, absolutely.
For sure. Like that's
it's one a natural the, progression.
It's a total natural it's, progression. It's yeah. a natural progression. You got to go through it. And here's the thing, you want to go through it. So you can appreciate where you get to if you choose to keep going. And that's one of the things that I bring to the table as the head coach of Enlifted is my amount of experience doing things right and doing things wrong. Like all the stuff that I bust on, except for flat brim hats, which are selling at fucking Sprouts. I've made all those mistakes. I know
you had a flat brim hat on your head.
Only because you put that on me. And
for so you've done it. You've made it so you can bust on it.
It was on top of my hat, so it never touched my head.
All right. Your crown chakra was protected.
Yeah, when you get your sound sword, you're going to have to heal my crown chakra from...
No, you can't make Kimberly's got Wait, a sound sword. Hold on. All right, we're going to pause this great conversation to describe the scene at dinner the other night. So we got a group of 16 people.
It was a fucking 16 glorious people dinner.
To go out to dinner.
That was one of the top 10 dinners of my life.
Best dinner party I've been to, you know?
I could argue that if somebody said, no, Mark, that's the best dinner party you've ever been. Be like, okay.
Yeah, I've been to some really cool dinner parties.
What about
this
Alex
is a good
Jones?
Story from another that time. Was... That wasn't a dinner party. Well, that was just
a party. That was, that no, was just a party.
A dinner to me, a dinner party is like more than 10 people. You know, you need it's like the party component is about
the now that, I mean, guests, since we're, you know, creating right?
So to get specific. So we go to dinner at County Line. We got 16 awesome humans. Everybody
Let's name
just,
names.
Just
we, come I can on, name God. Names. I'll name I'll go just ahead. Go around All the right, table.
List it.
You're at the head of the table. Okay.
Of course, host is
Kimberly's
the
at the head of the table. Okay, and we'll just go to the left. So Allison Story, Luke Story's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Allison, what was the girl's name?
I don't
that was
remember
across
her
the,
name, actually.
Who was she friends with?
You know, I'm
she
not
was
sure.
cool.
I don't know how she got there. She was
she was from
Arkansas.
Hot Springs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hot Springs, Arkansas, long time.
Very sweet, very cool.
Yeah,
I didn't catch her name.
Multi-generational. Her parents... Her family knew the Clintons. That's where he's from. Yay. And then to the right of her was Bryn Daler.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bryn's boyfriend, Eli.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was it Mike? Jerrica's boyfriend. And then, no, it was Jerrica and then Mike. And then Gabrielle does all of Mickey Willis's editing. Super cool shit. Look into that. Plandemic 1, 2, and The Great Awakening. And then Naomi. And then down at the other head was Joyous. And his wife was then and then somebody.
Dude and Spellings.
Thank you. Dude Spellings. And then Jessica DePatie and me and Luke Story on the left. And so in the energy, like we didn't talk to the people down there, but we knew they were having a great time.
Everybody had a great time.
There was three sections. Ends and in the middle, and
you know,
and
naturally groups yeah. about 5-6 people, right? Yeah. You can kind of play in and out, and so that's not the part of this. That's not the story. The story is that Luke Story started the flat brim hat movement in Austin, Texas, single handedly. Okay, that's facts.
He was giving some Ojai boys.
Mark and I were speculating on that before arriving at dinner, and then we all sit down with our party of 16.
What are the chances?
And another party of 16 sit downs next to us, and 50%, 60% of the group were wearing flat brim hats.
And the other ones had cowboy hats on. Yeah, they were obviously from out of town.
I was like, Mark, you planted these people.
Yeah,
here.
And then they had feathers in their flat brim caps. So the hell are we, how do we get off on this topic?
So what's the difference between being, what is the barrier of entry to becoming a coach?
Yeah.
Being a coach, being a good coach, being a great coach, right? We started talking about what the energy is like for somebody in those early years of their coaching career. Early
oh yeah,
days
and then I've made all the mistakes.
Coach.
Like I
right,
like,
you made all
if
mistakes,
I, if I
including
bust on it,
wearing your flat.
If I
hat.
Bust on it, I know it, okay, and I know it well. So, yeah.
Really, where this conversation, right? I wanted to drive this conversation today, and the reason I opened it up and asked those questions in the beginning is because a lot of people in the coaching industry like to shit on the coaching industry because of the fact that there's no barrier to entry, or because the minimal level of investment needed to, with time, energy, money, attention, any of those things, to be able to put up a sign that says I'm a coach. And I think that part of that fuels this collective imposter syndrome story that coaches are walking around saying that they feel like a fraud because they think everybody in the industry is a fraud because that guy they saw on Instagram who has 250,000 followers, but he's just an idiot who doesn't know anything about teaching people about health. And here he is, like, all these people pay attention to him, but he's such a fraud. How could I be any good at this? Or how can anyone take me seriously? And there's this, like, this dialogue of, I talk about this at length in a solo episode about the collective imposter syndrome that I've seen and witnessed in the coaching industry. But I also say in that episode that if you're walking around pointing the finger at everyone else who, because the coaching industry has a low barrier to entry, and you're walking around thinking like this idea of, well, it doesn't take much to be a coach, or it's not like, I don't need much, or nobody needs anything, so the standards are, you know, it's a wild, wild west out here. Hold the phone right here, guys. We're going to teach you a little bit about projections and reflections, because what you're walking around pointing the finger out outside of you, you're projecting that this is the thing. That's why when people hear, right, I started this by saying, I think it's a good thing that the coaching industry has no central governing body, no central thing, like no set of standards, no thing that's...
I wish the government would get involved.
You know?
We're here from the government, and we're here... From the government, we're here to help.
For everybody's best interest, we have to get involved. So the idea being that there's the responsibility on the practitioner to want to get good. And there's a responsibility on the practitioner to want to go to that next level of professional. And there's a lot that it takes to get there. And it's not just certifications and certificates and, you know, number of clients you've worked with, or, you know, putting a fancy title in front of your name on your Instagram Master. Buyer. That's not it. That's not what it takes to actually be good at something, right? That's not what it takes to be a good coach, to be a great coach, to be a pro coach. And let's go back to summarize those three ways we said. To be a coach, just put your sign up.
Yeah.
To be a good coach, you said presence, which is different than just being excited about what you do, or different than, you know, racking up a handful of certifications, or different than, you know, 5 years in the game. Different answer.
Presence and interest. Show me someone who's legitimately interested in someone. I mean, these are all attributes that cross over, intermingle. Presence, ability to focus, interest in people. You'll figure out a lot with that. You'll figure out way more beneficial things with those attributes than what you will be taught in the average certification of how to do it. Right.
Right. That's a very clear distinction, because most of the technical knowledge that people think they need on how to be a good coach is not what it takes. I mean, I'll just, for shits and giggles, you know, when I earned my NASM certification, what did I do? I studied movement and mechanics and anatomy about the body and, you know, different ways of programming and whatnot. And that, by taking the test after reading the book, doing the self-paced stuff, took the test, and I was certified. I knew shit about training. I didn't know how to actually get somebody to do the thing. I didn't know how to cue. Like, you know, there was not any actual, like, you know, and they do have different levels of their certification where you can get mentorship and you can work with people and they'll teach you how to do it. But it was one of the things I was like very struck by in the beginning, that I was like, once I took it, I was like, oh, this idea of earning this certification, not every certification is like this, right? And we'll get into that in a second. But the idea of like, learn it on your own, take the test. If you pass the test, you're good. But there's no real like people skills in it. There's no understanding of the soft skills of coaching. There's no understanding how and why to create behavior change. There's, you know, there's not about how to build your confidence as a coach. Most of these certifications are lacking the true professional development that it takes to get to that level of what I would, you know, pro world-class coach. And a lot of those problems are solved within our certification, and this isn't supposed to be a plug for that. It's just about discussion of the dialogue of what,
and commitment to the craft,
what we're doing
and how we approach it, how we teach it. Yeah. What we're doing special. It is. I mean, I know it is, because most people in most industries, as far as the the co-founders, they're just, they're thinking about scaling. Like, here's another way to say it. I work my ass off so I can work my ass off. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me because I watch you do it.
Because I hustle so I can work my ass off. I put in a lot of hours so I can have 4 level ones in a row, which the entire month of April in 2024 is going to be, it's just one big coaching
session. I strategically scheduled you. I don't know if you know this, but that April 1st is when you'll start the one-to-one sessions. We get back from El Salvador on March 31st.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. I'm
amongst many of my skills here at Enlifted, I curate Mark's chaos and make his work his ass off life just a little bit smoother, bigger and smoother, as we talked about.
Gotta have a team. You gotta have a team. You know, you gotta have a team. That's another thing. That's another thing. It's like, you know, I'm a coach. I'm a lone wolf. That's amateur
shit. No, you really don't need to be at all.
It's a Native American saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a group. You know, it's the same thing. It's like, I did the whole thing by myself for 8 years. I know that back and forth. I'm thinking of some of my peers and none of them do it alone.
Oh, no, you can't. You know, it's like one of the things that helps you be as good of a coach as you are is that you don't have to think about what goes on Instagram. You don't have to think about the podcast topics. You don't have to think about where do I book the studio? I don't have to think about what's going on the website. I don't need to check the copy in the emails. I don't need,
like, you I would, don't have if to, I had like, to do all that, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it. And it,
no, I mean, I wouldn't, I know what you're about to say. You can go ahead and fucking say it because you're right. I wouldn't do any of it. Like, if that's what I had to do to coach, I wouldn't coach. I'd walk. I'd walk and say, you know what? That was an odyssey, a personal odyssey into the world of coaching. And I did some interesting and valuable things. It will continue after me and I'm good. I'm going somewhere else. I'll just go do something else.
I did.
Like, I might actually get a fucking janitor job.
Yeah. No, I did walk from it. I didn't. 2 years of doing all that stuff on my own, I was like, oh, I can't do this. I got to go work with teams. And I did. And then I figured out that I was far better of an intrapreneur than an entrepreneur, right?
What's the difference?
Intrapreneur means you're working with other people in a team, but you're running a business on your own. You're not like, you know, you're part of the, you're building the business. You're part of the business, right? Like, I mean, like, are you my boss technically? No.
No. I don't see myself that in that way in any way, shape or form. Like, nah, I just work here.
Yeah.
Like, so show up and I do what I'm told.
Yeah. But so the idea is like really like getting to this place of like, you know, and we're seeing this. I know you guys have heard me say this a few times. BBU, what is BBU? Business Breakthrough University. If you've been listening along, we will eventually talk at length about what that product is and the results that's coming through that program that we're running right now. It's going to be really, we'll have Mike Gonzalez and Yasmin on the show. We've got studio time booked with them in March when we're down there. We got a lot coming for you.
Did you do that booking or did I?
Yasmin did.
So not me.
Not you.
Yeah. What booking where and for what?
Well, we're going to Florida in March and we're going to be doing podcasting like this. We'll be doing a photo shoot. And we also, miraculously, by the divine intervention of that is the cool order of the universe, it will be BBU Class 1's graduation while we're there. So we're going to get to host that call all together. You, me, Yasmin, Mike, and Norman and Adam will still be virtual, but it'll be fun.
I so look forward to when Norman and Adam get to hang out personally.
Cool. All right, we're way off the topic.
Doesn't matter. People like it. People like, you know, hearing backstories and rants and tangents. And
of course.
And what I recommend doing, okay, is being a longtime listener for the show. Just decide that that's one of the things that you do. And here's two things that will happen guaranteed. If you have been a longtime listener, then you know this is true. If you're just getting turned on to the show, I promise you this will happen if you continue listening. Two things. You're going to learn a shitload about coaching, about communication, because those two words are simultaneous. Mm-hmm. Synonymous. You're going to learn a shitload about words and stories and breath. Super valuable stuff, whether you coach or not. And you're also going to be entertained.
You are going to be entertained for
those
sure.
Those two things. That's going to happen, guaranteed.
Edutainment, yeah. I like to call it.
Yeah.
So where why was I bringing up BBU? What was I talking? Oh, you don't have to do it alone, right? So like like to wear the hat of marketer, lead generator, sales team, content creation, coaching fulfillment, scheduling. That's just if you're meeting the basics. That's a lot for one person to do. And regardless of how you build out a team, right? Maybe you hire some VAs, maybe you work in a facility where you have multiple people that are there to help the whole thing run and sing, whatever it is, right? Like there's the more support you have helps you be better at the thing that you want to do. And so in this conversation about the different like levels of coaching.
And there are people that don't want to do what you want to do.
Of course.
You mean, do you think Adam wants to go on a relentless
workshop? Do you think Adam wants to sit here right now?
Yeah, I'd like to see him sit here. And I would love to watch Adam run a workshop. It would be, you know, his style and his everything. But like, he wants to do exactly what he's doing, which is be in the background, shape it, influence, be on creative calls.
Be mysterious.
Yeah, the man in the chair. Yeah, so anyway, team. It's a team sport, y'all. It's a team sport.
So, okay, so I wasn't anticipating this whole segment about team in this conversation.
Once you get out of amateur land.
Yeah, it's very, yes, it's very important. But really what I'm talking about here in this conversation is coaching identity, is about how you can see yourself move through each level of identity, knowing that you have to take the step through all of them, right? This isn't like you can't just, you know, you can't decide one day that you're going to be a coach and then be a pro. That's not how that works. Right. You got to start at Little League and then you get up to the MLB. OK, we move through the ranks in the sense of that you've got to earn your experience. And there are things that you cannot be taught or things that are not just because you have a fancy paper up on the wall from a fancy university that you paid a nice pretty penny for does not mean that you have the ability to do the thing, right? There's this idea of, and at any level that is, whether that's a weekend certification for $47 or it was a 6-year master degree for $47,000 a semester, right? Like the price is not an indicator of your skill, and the degrees and certifications are not an indicator of your skill. They certainly help and they certainly matter, but they are not.
You need those two to get out of amateur land.
Yes.
And you need to get the good ones. Okay. Yes. And so what that means, another way of saying that is if you stay on the path, you're going to rack up some L's. You're going to rack up some losses and you're going to get the scars. If you want the medals, you're going to get the scars. There are things that you're going to learn on the path of take out coaching, put it in any fucking industry. You're going to learn them the hard way because this thing, nothing is rainbows and butterflies the whole time. So as you learn, if you stay in the game, your discernment will get better.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm assuming that there will be an upward trajectory in the quality of your decisions about who you study with. And that's also reflective in the fact that Mike Gonzalez is great talking about this, that there's been a pretty good shakeout in the coaching industry over the past 5 years about who's who, who's good, who's still in the game.
That's going to continue to happen.
What are their clients saying? What are the coaches that they've certified saying? And so you've got way more information about who is the real deal and not now than 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
The most important asset any coach or coaching business has is its testimonials and its reviews. And the thing is if you don't get results, you're not going to have testimonials and reviews. And if you don't honor what you promised. I can think of clear examples in my own life, some of the L's that I've taken and people I've chosen to study with or products or things that I've tried that I thought were going to work and that didn't. They didn't. What was the problem? The problem was they didn't actually deliver on what they promised. And that's why they've no longer continued to be in business. Because when you make a big, bold claim, right? The I help statement, right? Let's look at it from a lens of what's in your Instagram bio, coach. I help busy entrepreneurs lose 30 pounds in 30 days. Right. And if you don't consistently help people lose 30 pounds in 30 days, then you're not going to have any testimonials to put up on your site. And you're making a false promise and you are claiming something that you can't actually fulfill on. And so you always this has been cool. How long have we been talking about this? From forever. Right. Anything that we say that we're going to do, we better be able to show that we do it. Right. Like it's
the back end conversations we have is it's very there's no fucking around. It's like, this is, it's samurai shit. It's dojo shit. I give us the nod. We're very strong in that regard.
And why that's important is because, again, like the reputation, the impressions, the quality of the work, the integrity of the work, like you know, and this is at its core why I think that not having a centralized certification body or a standard of a thing that has to be this certain way for it to be good or it to be valid or for it to be the, you know, like, yes, okay, you're approved now. There's layers of that that are great, right? Because it helps people, it helps with achievement, it helps with knowing how to go on a path, it helps with developing the craft, it helps with all of that. But that is not like what I want to see as an overall standard. What I want to see is the quality of the results. I want to see coaches, you know, if you get results, you'll stay in business. If you don't get results, it's going to flop. And just looking at it from purely from that perspective and challenging a little bit of this idea of like in the healthcare system, that's not how it works. You don't have to get results. You don't have to prove results. You just have to bill for it.
We're liable for the problems, right? The fails.
You know, nothing. Like there's no accountability for that. And that's, you know, we see how that's playing out. And that's why many people are working in the land of coaching instead, because they see that the path is, you know, easier to help people. It's smoother to help people. And so this idea of like the industry or coaching as a profession having a low barrier to entry is like, okay, cool. But how do I get good? Because I don't care what everyone else is doing, and I don't care about what the standard is supposed to be. What I care about is how do I be, if I want to be a good coach, right? If I have that enthusiasm, I have that excitement, and I have that desire to like show people that I'm good. Okay, how do I go to that next level? Because it is a little bit of create your own adventure, choose your own adventure on that path.
Which is why I said vision in that second tier. You got to be able to see further down. And just to talk about the L's that will be there. You got to stay in the game long enough to turn a potential L into a win or learn the lesson from the L. And remember we went down, I know you do, we went down and interviewed Fern. Mm-hmm. And how we got there is escaping me. And we were talking about...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Losses. And he goes, well... Isn't there no such thing as a loss? You know, as far as like a bad certification, I brought up a bad certification. And he goes, isn't there no such thing as a bad certification? And then he elaborated on why he said that. And I was like, that's a topic I need to think about more. And I just put it in the back of my mind. And I was like, yeah, you're right. There are no losses. There are no L's in bad certifications if you stay in the game. If a bad certification gets you to flinch, quit, that's over.
Or throw in the towel because like because like that one thing didn't work out.
Like a fatal L.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing that Fern really, Jason Fernandez from Best Hour of the Day for
Total those G.
who know what I'm talking about. He also, this is actually the most animated I've seen him. He's a very like, he's very clear, monotone kind of thing. And when he got the most animated I ever saw him was when he was talking about just be good. Just be freaking good. Yep. Like, just be good. It's not that hard. Be good at what you do. And I was like, oh, there he is. And that's something that the guys at Best Hour of the Day do really, really well is they hold that standard, right? Because they're like, their slogan is something about something is the standard. Like, good just is the standard. Like, I don't know. It's like, but come on. It's really, is it that hard? Is it that hard? Like, don't worry about everybody else is good. You worry about you being good.
Everybody knows when they're putting in quality effort. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows when they're doing that. That's what he's talking about. Put in quality effort.
Put in effort. Good. Just period. Put in effort. Right.
Also known as caring.
Yeah. Put in the reps. Do the work. Be good at what you do. Care about. Be proud of what you do. Even better than that. I was thinking about that.
And if you want to be exceptional.
Yeah.
You got to be obsessed.
You know,
I
found my new favorite Instagram account. Let me look this guy up. He writes about obsession. You will love him. Yeah, Zach Progrob. Okay, I'm gonna send you this page, and you just read through it on your own time.
Okay,
you're gonna love what he talks about. He talks about thinking decades. Mm-hmm. He talks about being obsessed with what you do. Mm-hmm. He talks about be so obsessed with it that you can't see anything else. Mm-hmm. Nothing else matters. And his thing that he's obsessed about is obsession, which is cool. Okay. So I'm going to just send you this right now. And and he hosts a run club in New York City, which is also kind of cool. But I don't know, I came across his page because of a podcast clip or because of one of those little like memes. Like he has like writing stuff on his page and talks about how unique it is to be obsessed with something and how most people never can get there. And that if you become obsessed with the thing that you, I'm obsessed with what we do in my way. I'm not obsessed with it in the same way you are.
Nor would I want anyone else to
be. And right. But I'm obsessed with it. I think about it all the time. I think about health and wellness all the time. I'm obsessed with it. Why? Because it's that important to me. Because that's how you know. You talk about it all the time. Explore your interests. Develop your, what is it? To say it again?
You got it. Explore your interests. Develop your passions. Commit to your purposes.
Yeah. Get obsessed.
Get obsessed.
Follow your obsession, you're obsessed with. That'll lead you
to I wasn't obsessed with this stuff when I first saw it. It was extremely interesting and attractive. And the fires grew as I got into it, especially when I started practicing. And then very rare. Most people, when let's just back up and use that metric that we both referenced. I need to find my purpose. Most people do not recognize their purpose when it shows up. Okay. It shows up as something they're interested in. And as time goes by, and if they stay focused on it, they spend more time with it, they create a relationship with it, that interest grows into a passion. And then that passion, if they spend time with it, continue to spend more time with it, develop the relationship with it, it'll turn into a purpose.
In that coaching game, right? Like what that is like you're interested obsessed. In the thing get that obsessed. You want to teach, right? Like you're interested in it at the level that it's helped you, right? That's where so many coaches start. Like they build this fire for becoming a coach based on what they did that changed their life. And they want everyone else to have that thing. That's my story. I know that's that's your story too. You wanted everyone else to feel what you felt. And it's like, I got to teach this. And then there becomes this next level of it where you realize, hey, maybe I don't know as much about this as I thought, and I got to go learn some more stuff. And hey, wait, maybe I don't know as much about people as I thought, and I got to go learn some stuff. And oh my God, now this is pushing up against the buttons of my identity, and I don't feel good enough to do this thing. Hello, imposter syndrome, right? And now I got to figure out what to do with that. I can either like fold and quit and go get another job, or I can kind of work with my identity and my personal development. And then to get to that stage where, and that's, you know, honestly, that's where we meet a lot of our coaches, right? Most of the coaches that we work with in Lifted, that's where we meet them. They're very excited about what they do. They love what they do. They know they need a little more help to get good, to get great, to get pro. And the imposter syndrome is kicking their ass and preventing them from doing it. Then we get to go in and use the tools that we teach to help them build their confidence, right? Build them up as a practitioner, set them up with the skills that they need to be good and develop their craft. And then we provide them a path to put in the reps to do that, right? And a continued education, continued ongoing support for them to do that, a community of their peers to do that with, right? That's the recipe. That's the recipe is the identity, the skill set, and the community.
You put those three things together, everybody, just specifically with your coaching. And then the conversation turns to, how big do I want to take this and how long do I want to do it for? You got to have those three things. God is a strong word. I get it. And the skill set, the identity that supports you using that skill set, and a group, a peer group of people that are doing the same or similar things. You don't have to explain yourself. That's exhausting. And
people who can expand you, people who are further down the path, people who have already done it, people for sure. who are doing it
examples,
better than
having
you
some examples, handful of examples,
you know,
and just a few people say, yeah, keep going. You're doing great. That you get one or two people tell you that a year for 5 years. That's like, It's on.
Well, I mean, going back to that idea of needing the vision, like I didn't make the vision on my own. I saw what other people that were doing with it. I was, you know, listening to podcasts. I was following people on Instagram. I was seeking out people who had gone through the programs that I was considering going into, asking them about it, asking people, what's your day-to-day life like this? When you know, what is it like as a full-time coach? What does this look like? I was gathering as much information from peers or people who I wanted to be my peers to figure out what my vision could look like. Because guess what? You can't do, again, can't do it on your own. You can't figure it out on your own. You're not here to reinvent the freaking wheel and, you know, build this whole new forge, this whole new thing. No, you're here to take a piece and look around at what everyone else is doing and then say, how can I do that in my flavor? How can I do that a little bit better? How can I do that in my way that I want to do it? And then you build and build and build, but you need peers. You need people to reflect that to you what's possible. You need people to call you up to the next level, right? That's why we all spend, you know, good chunks of money on mentors and why we spend good chunks of money on getting in the room for a mastermind or why.
What
you
did
know,
Rachel Veratimo say about friends?
She pays for her friends.
Yeah, I pay for my friends.
She paid for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, somebody be like, what the fuck? You pay for your friends? What kind of a person are you? You ever join a gym?
Yeah.
You ever go to college?
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, I met my wife at where?
Right.
Was that free?
Yeah.
It's like, running club? It's like maybe there's a charge. That's
usually, yeah. There's something.
Mastermind? Oh, you're gonna get in the same room with a bunch of badasses. How would you have met them otherwise? It's like, after you get out of high school, pay for your friends.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. I highly recommend it. It's landed me with a lot of really dope people in my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you pay for your friends and then they start paying for things for you and then you start paying for things for them and then you start to build these relationships and the whole thing goes, you know? And yeah. Like, yeah, I mean, I just think it's important to pay, you know, it's like take paying for it out of it. Put yourself in rooms where people are that you want to be like. Put yourself in spaces with people who are doing the thing you want to do. Get in the arena, right? We say that. Yeah. And you don't want to be the best coach in your gym. You don't. Congrats if you're the best one in the room, but think bigger, get in a bigger room. Put yourself in a bigger platform. Put yourself in a bigger arena. You know, when we had to bring it back to the dinner conversation, I was sitting right next to Luke Story and you bet I was asking him questions about how he grew and expanded his podcast and what it was like and what the back end of it and like not, you know, not just like
how valuable of a conversation is. Tell everybody a little bit about Luke's story, just his
yeah, sure. Numbers. So you can look him up. He is the host of the Lifestylist podcast and he's been podcasting for 8 years. He's been doing it full time as his income source for 6 of those 8 years. And he gets to interview, you know, a lot of really cool people in the space of.
It's a thing to go on.
It's
show.
It's a whole thing. He charges people to go on that show. He told really? Me. Yeah. Hmm. I'll keep the details.
Sure.
For private conversation off the mics. But yeah, I mean, I'm not here to like, you know, be like, oh, I got to have dinner with him and all these things. But
how valuable was a conversation
super valuable.
For you who's 2 years in, you're a pro podcaster and then get to sit next to an 8-year pro.
Yeah.
I mean,
and having seen him run his show, right? Because I went with you
mm-hmm.
when you were on his show last time we were here a few months ago, see how it's set up. And again, see the vision,
beautiful
right?
Space.
Right? Like I got to see the vision because we did that similar to this trip where we did a handful of back-to-back workshops. That trip, we did back-to-back podcasts. And I got to see how many different, like how many different studios are set up, how different hosts run their show, having a production assistant, something like all of those things were important for me to be in the room, to see, to understand what I can do with this show and what has happened since then. A lot, right? We've made significant investment in moving this thing forward, but I wouldn't have even known where to go with it if I hadn't really seen. It's one thing to watch the thing on YouTube, all right? It's another thing to be in the room behind the camera that's filming the thing for YouTube, okay? Yeah. Totally different,
yep.
Right? So what am I saying? What I'm saying is that when you have the opportunity to connect with somebody and build a relationship with them and ask them questions about what it is that they've done before. We had the same conversation, you and I, the other night, the first night that we were here, when I said, of all the students that you have taught, who's the one who's had the most hours on the clock with you? And we, you know, you had a different answer. And I was like, no, it's me. And we're like, oh, shit. Yeah. Because why? Because everything is a rep. Because every meeting is a rep. Because every podcast we do together is a rep. Because every time I sit in on class to say hi to people and to introduce myself is a rep.
That's,
every time we go to a workshop is a rep. Every time that I talk to the students is a rep.
What do you see in workshops now? What did you see in those two workshops?
Because
you know what I – like you can probably know what I'm
dude,
3 or 4 steps
you're,
ahead.
You know, it's like it is infuriating to me sometimes how like your voice comes into my head, the exact things that you say – like it's like a script and a tape that I have on demand. Sometimes I'm like, fucking Mark, shut up. But it's because of how much I listen and I hear. And it's not like, it's literally just like, it's annoying only because I'm like, oh, it took me too long to get to that answer. Right. You know, or like something where, but it's, and students have said that to you too, about how like, mm-hmm. they're like, I used to be annoyed by you repeating yourself. And then I get in the sessions and I'm in the heat's turned up and you, and then I hear you say the thing and I know exactly what to do. Right. So there's value in repetition. So what I see when I'm at a workshop, I don't pay attention to you at all. I pay attention to the people in the room. I look and I observe. I really observe the person that you're coaching's body language, but I also look, widen out the view to see the people sitting around them, how they're responding to it, because I find it very fascinating, you know, like the body language, the cognitive shifts, the way the eyes look, the way they move and adjust themselves in the seats, the way that they scribble something down on the paper. You know, you can infer a lot of what people are thinking just purely by observing their energy and their behavior. And, you know, where I'm at in this game of coaching, being, you know, call it 7 years in, having made all the stupid ass mistakes in the beginning, having realized that I'm at a place now where I am very good at what I do when I put my attention there, you know, it's just, it is the same thing as what you said about you get to that decade mark and it zooms out. A lot zooms out for me. And I'm not really worried about what the language game is or what the specific combination of words is or how, you know, what's going to go first and then what's going to go next. I'm really like, you know, I talked about this too on a podcast recently about the workshop that I did with I went in with a curriculum and an idea of what I was going to teach and then had around the room about where everyone was at. And I said, okay, I'm not teaching that. You know, I'm not teaching that. We're talking about imposter syndrome and we're going to work an imposter syndrome story because that's where everybody was. And that is high level coaching, right? Throw the curriculum out the window, the thing you prepared for, right? Because if you're a professional, you prepare, throw the thing out the window that what you prepared and go in to do the thing that you got to do, right? And be on a dime, just be able to do that.
Pivot. Yep.
You know, and you mentioned that at the very end of the last episode about pivoting in the language game. And to bring it back to that top heavy energy, right? That excited up, you know, a little bit upregulated or potentially, you know, both sides of the coin. It's like you're upregulated, you're, you know, you're excited or you're kind of like got something to prove. There's a little bit of ego coming through. You know, that person isn't going to pivot from the plan. They're going to try to force the plan. They're going to try to stick to the routine, right? Like the whiteboard brief, like, no, we got to do it as we wrote it.
It's not curriculum.
That's and try to force. And I've been there. Oh my God. How many times have I been there? Try to do that. Just geez. You know, it's like being able to, but why was I comfortable enough to throw the curriculum out the window and that I had spent a lot of time preparing and thinking about, right? Why was I prepared to do that? Because I can read my clients, because I can read the people in the room, because I know that all my, like the tools in my tool belt, I'm equally prepared for. Right. Like I know that what I had thought wasn't going to work. So why do it? Do what's going to work. Same thing. Like, you know, if you're a fitness coach and you've got somebody coming into a session today and they're wrecked, like they're exhausted, they haven't eaten, they haven't slept, they're, you know, but they showed up. You going to test their back squat PR? No, I hope not. You know,
here's a pen and paper. Let's turn that frown upside down.
Yeah, well, but that's the whole thing. It's like, you know, I think that there's what I see and observe. And again, one of the things I like, part of the reason why I wanted to have this conversation, talk about the different levels and tiers of coaching. Like I have the privilege and pleasure of being around a lot of high level coaches through the Enlifted community. People who've been in the game for 10, 15, 20 years, right? So we spent time with them this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear what they say differently about what they do. And I see the results of what they do differently. Again, proof's in the pudding on the results. Can you get the results? Dude, you think Jeremy Teal ran a 1,200 person CrossFit competition for the first time that weekend? No. He's been in that game, putting in the reps, learning, expanding, building the team, developing. Bigger and smoother happened because of every piece along the way. And
he'd be an interesting interview.
Totally. Oh, everybody we work with would be an interesting interview. It's hard. Like, it's hard to, like, you know, get them all in the same place and have the conversations. But so ultimately, a lot of the people who I am teaching are further along the path than me. I could let that
in some ways
tell me, right? Of course, right? But I could let that tell me I'm a fake or a fraud or not good enough to do it. And no, because I know my lane. But I also know that the effort that I've put in, right? Like just do a good job, put in the effort. That ultimately counts more than years, right? You can collapse time. by putting in the reps. Maybe you can get people to lose 30 pounds in 30 days, you know, if you're that good. Maybe you can.
A pro
taking
coach.
An Ozempic or something.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. I just learned about that a month ago. Yeah, a pro coach is a world-class coach. A pro coach is they're comfortable being around people, being around other coaches that are better than them. That's a big metric.
Yeah.
They're comfortable around it. Because if they stay in the game, they're going to become that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what that is. That's a fast track. Once you get into that space.
You know, there's an important attribute that we haven't said, which is curiosity. because that's how you become comfortable in the room with people that are better than you, is you get curious and you ask them, much like I said, when I talked to Luke Story, I didn't have an agenda. I didn't even know I was going to sit next to him. I didn't prepare to have that conversation. I just was like, hey, dude, this is the honest questions about what you're doing and what's up. Same thing when I interviewed Paul Cech, you know, or the first time that we were on that show when you know, we decided on a dime as we're driving up the driveway.
Literally driving up the driveway.
Like, I was like, oh, you know, like, okay. And it's just curiosity. If you let curiosity lead, that will make you a very good coach. Because why? Curiosity means you're asking questions. Curiosity means that you don't have a predetermined outcome or result in mind. Curiosity means that you're going to actually observe what's going on versus think you know how it's going to go.
Said it a lot, and I'm sticking by it. That discipline and curiosity smoke inspiration and motivation.
Oh, absolutely.
Smoke them. Smoke them. You put those two things together. Just show me somebody who's disciplined, and they're going to smoke either one of those two things. Curiosity. Discipline will push you. Curiosity will pull you. You put those two things together, I mean, then it's like if that really settles in, then you're like, I'm going to beat everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat everybody. It's just a matter of time. And then you do crazy shit like pull out your calendar and put in your last day of work 50 years down the line.
True story. Mark did that.
It's a true story. It's in my calendar. My last day on the job.
That was funny in the workshop the other day when you're like 2057 and everyone's like, what? I was like, oh, it's his last day.
That was last night. That was last night. Yeah. January 17th, 2057.
That was
my last day on the job. I might even take a half day.
I hope you do. But knowing you, you'll probably do something crazy like 6 one-to-one sessions and a workshop.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. But on the 18th, I'm done. I fucking walk. I'm never talking about this shit ever again in my entire life. I'll fight somebody if they try and bring it up.
Hey, coach. Ready to get your clients out of their own way and over their shitty mindset? Start by learning the words and make mindset coaching practical. Master the Enlifted Method and guide your clients to lasting results by changing their words. To enroll in the next class of Enlifted Level 1 certification, head on over to enlifted.me and click Get Certified. Let us know you're loving the show. Subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and be sure to share it with your friends. Abracadabra.